You don't have to save the world, okay? It is not all on your shoulders. And there are ways that you can help this person out who can't afford your fees. So I'm going to tell you a couple of ways. This is the Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses podcast with Dr. Kate Walker, where I teach you, Texans and non-Texans alike, the latest research-based information to hit your income goals, stay out of trouble, and make a bigger impact in your community. Join me and let's fill the gaps in access to mental health care and create a counseling career you'll love. Let's get to work.
Welcome to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses, where it's all about working smarter, not harder. And here's your host, Dr. Kate Walker.
Who really can't keep up with the new slang her kids say?
Welcome to episode 79, my careful counselors. Before we jump into this conversation, which is so interesting to me, I want to be sure that I let you know we have a special replay called Three Secrets to Successful Supervisor Certification, and it answers all of your questions, everything from the OER triad to business plans that are ethical for supervisors, to how to mitigate liability and protect your license. It's free and it can be yours. It's super easy to do. Just go to katewalkertraining.com/be a supervisor. That's katewalkertraining.com/be a supervisor. Now let's jump in and get to work. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Kate Walker. This is your Tuesday training, and we're going to talk about money. And my special guest is Jennifer, that many of you know and love. And she's going to ask me tough money questions because she's going to be in her own private practice soon. And I thought, well, who better than to kind of talk about the icky money stuff, the uncomfortable money stuff, than somebody who hasn't really gotten a lot of experience taking money with clients. I mean, Jennifer, you know everything to do with supervision and you're in a doc program, but what do you think about when it comes to accepting payment from client? And to be clear, we're talking about taking payment, not insurance payment, because that's a whole other animal, right? So what kind of comes to your mind when you're thinking about taking money or accepting payment from clients?
For me, I think about, you know, we go to the grocery store and we scan an item and it tells us the item's $5 and we don't question it. We don't think anything of it. We just pay it. I mean, it's not a personal interaction, but as a therapist, it's a very personal interaction. It's a personal relationship. And, you know, I was taught growing up, we don't talk about money at the dinner table.
Right.
So I think addressing money is a really great topic. And I wrote down some questions. So how do you tell a client that you don't take insurance, that you're just a cash pay practice?
That's a really good question. And I'm going to go back to what you just said a minute ago, because so many of us are raised not to talk about money. And so when you have something that you don't talk about, it puts shame onto it. Like, we're not supposed to talk about sex. We're not supposed to talk about whatever, right? So if we put it in that sort of category or box of stuff of not supposed to's, we've got to untrain and retrain our brain when it comes to talking about it with clients. So the way I teach it is you broach in your 10-minute consultation. Now, if you don't know what a 10-minute consultation is, I've got another episode on that. But briefly, it's the appointment that you set before the appointment. It's the screening call. It's the call that you talk to the client and you let them know sort of what therapy is all about and what the first few sessions will look like. And it's not like you're leading with, my rate is $500. Can you pay that? Right? We're not doing that. We're simply saying, here's what I do. Here's what you'll get. Here's what you can expect. And by the way, do you have any questions for me? And so prompting a client to ask a question is good because you know the answer, first of all, because usually they're going to ask about cost and schedule. And we know when anxiety goes up, cognition goes down. So your client's on the other end, very anxious, like they don't know what to ask. They know money's probably important, but we're kind of trained in the medical model as a client. And I'm thinking about the person on the other end of the phone. They may have never paid for something like counseling with a check or a credit card. They're used to using their insurance. So when you prompt them and say, do you have any other questions for me? And they say, oh yeah, well, how much does it cost? Well, you can give your rate. It's just like an improv. Do something, say something. So you give the rate. My rate is $150. And you can submit a super bill for reimbursement if you have those type of out-of-network benefits. So see, I didn't just say my rate. I said my rate, and then I told them immediately how to recoup that money without letting them know, like, I'm going to do that for them. Like, they might ask, oh, do you do that for me? I don't in my practice. I would say, no, but we can give you a super bill with the proper codes and my tax ID. So you have that, and you can submit that to your insurance. And if you have those kind of benefits, and I'm always really careful about that, to say if you have those benefits, then you may be reimbursed. So that's how I teach people to broach the topic, right? And introduce them to this new concept of, yeah, we're not taking insurance. It's cash payment. And by the way, when I say cash, I don't mean like cash. I mean credit card, Venmo, Ivy Pay, whatever it is that you're going to use.
Just cash in general.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you broach the subject of somebody's card getting declined?
Yeah, that's actually a topic I noticed today in one of the groups. It was either Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses or the Texas Supervisor Coalition. And this is really tricky because if you look at HIPAA and you look at LPC and LMFT, getting your credit card declined or your payment declined is not a qualifying condition for breaking confidentiality, right? It's sort of like if you get a bad review and how do you respond to a bad client review on Google, right? There are certain conditions under which we can break confidentiality, like child abuse or elder abuse, or if you have to defend yourself in court. So my whole comment there is consult an attorney, right? Number one, consult an attorney. But be prepared to eat that cost. I mean, again, I'm not an attorney, but most of the time when you have to dispute a payment, you have to submit proof. And if you can submit proof with the client's name redacted, yes, I know the credit card company knows who it is and you know who it is and everybody knows what we're talking about. But when you submit that proof, that's releasing protected health information. So nobody ever, anywhere, ever said you have to work without getting paid. And so terminating a client who isn't paying is absolutely appropriate. And there are ethical ways to do that. You can refer to the ACA Code of Ethics. You can refer to the licensure code where it talks about termination and how to avoid client abandonment. But you're never supposed to work and not get paid for what your services are. But yeah, it can be tricky.
That's always a tough one. And I guess you kind of touched on my next question. Would you continue seeing a client if their card was declined?
This is probably one of those other things like talking about money at the dinner table thing. The program or the software that I use allows me to send out an automated email. It's a HIPAA compliant software, but I can send out an email that says, hey, your card was declined and here's how we can square that up. So I always start with the gentle tap on the shoulder and, you know, because it happens all the time. People's credit cards get declined or somebody gets compromised. I'm using something called Ivy Pay now. You'll know immediately if the payment's not going through. So I think as counselors, I've kind of talked a little bit about broaching the topic. When you're having to work it into a client session, I always teach to do it at the beginning of the session, right? When the beginning of the session, let's say you're face to face, everybody's just kind of walked down the hallway, you're getting settled on the couch, you're putting your purse down, you're putting your whatever down. And you can say, hey, before we get started, there's just a little bit of housekeeping. I noticed that your credit card didn't go through. Is there another card you'd like to leave on file with me? Same thing with virtual. At the beginning of the session is what I teach. And you guys know as well as I do, if you've been doing this for a while, the reason why is because the end of the session is usually when they've dropped a bomb or they're in the middle of working through something very, very heavy. You're trying to close. Maybe they're not ready to close. And for you to be like, oh yeah, by the way, your credit card was declined. Let's just throw one more thing into the last 5 minutes that it's going to be tricky to try to talk about. If a credit card gets declined or a client is showing that it's sort of an issue over time, that also comes down to your boundaries, right? You know, and I talk about this with folks who are taking the supervisor training. How long would you let somebody go in supervision without paying you for supervision, right? I mean, if you're having trouble collecting payment, it might not be, you know, something with the client. It might be something with you, right? So a lot of what we counselors struggle with money is up there. So
very much so. Have you ever had a client dispute a credit card charge?
Have I? Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. And it was shocking, you know, because you're kind of sitting there going, wait a second, I saw them, right? Like they were there and I remember, and you almost question, you know, what happened. And I work with couples. And so thank goodness this has only happened once in almost 20 years, but still it's that, what do I do? How do I get this money back? Well, again, in the big scheme of things, that payment, that one payment that doesn't go through that you're not able to recoup, you have to really ask yourself the time and the effort, small claims court, I don't know, whatever you decide to do, is it really worth going after and maybe possibly risking the protected health information? And flip it to say, you know, if you let that person come back and they still don't pay you or it becomes a pattern, and you're recouping $1,000 from them, that's kind of on you, as gently as I can say it, right? That's really something you got to work out.
Perfect. So do you ever offer like session packages?
Ooh, that is such a good question. And I hear that now because so many people are wanting to do coaching, right? And so this brings in our codes of ethics and our licensure codes. So just as a reminder, code of ethics is from, you know, we think of that from our professional organizations like ACA, AAMFT, APA, and those don't govern our license, right? What governs our licenses is LPC, LMFT, social work, psychology, BHEC, right? And then above that, we have federal laws like HIPAA. So LPC, LMFT codes say you can only accept payment for services rendered, right? We don't want to bill falsely, right? You would never submit an invoice for something, a payment or a service that never happened. So when we have packages, let's say that you're going to put a package together for 3 sessions. I'm not saying that's good or bad or wrong. It's just, you've got to remember those services haven't happened yet. So you might want to be sure that you have a refund policy. So if that person only comes to the 1st of 3 in the package, how long are you going to hang on to that money before you refund the money, right? So you give them a call, you say, hey, you know, you still have 2 sessions left. And they're like, hey, I'm feeling pretty good. I don't really think, or we found somebody else who's a better fit, or the issue has resolved itself, whatever. Then really looking at having something in your paperwork that describes your refund policy. And what that means is you'll need to have a cash kind of an account set aside, right? You won't want to spend that money right away because you're going to have to be ready to give that back if the services are never rendered.
That makes sense. And then my last question I had is, how do you address when clients, like you tell them your fee's $250 an hour and their life's falling apart and they're crying on the phone and they say, I can't afford that?
Well, so this is a couple of answers here, right? So first and foremost, counselor, I'm looking at you. You don't have to save the world, okay? It is not all on your shoulders. And there are ways that you can help this person out who can't afford your fees. So I'm going to tell you a couple of ways. So first and foremost, let's say it's you who wants to deliver those services. I have heard of business plans where you can set aside certain days of the week, certain times, certain slots in your schedule that are a sliding fee scale. So my only advice here is you must have something black and white to be able to determine who gets it and who doesn't, right? It can't just be like, oh, you look like you need a sliding fee scale. No, 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 you drove a really nice car, so I'm not going to give you a sliding fee scale. So what I recommend are the federal poverty standards. If you're able to get some sort of documentation from this person, you know, a pay stub or some sort of letter from the unemployment office or something that satisfies you as to the amount of money they have and their household number, right? Like the number of people in their household who are dependent on them, then you can go to the federal poverty standards and say, oh, okay, for a family of five making $36,000 a year, they fall under the poverty standards. Then you, practice owner, can come up with a rate, right? So if they make this much money, you might charge them $20 for the session, or this much money, $80 for the session, or something along those lines. But whatever you choose, be consistent. Keep the same criteria in the same way for every single person who walks in your office. And you don't have to dedicate half your schedule. You can dedicate 2 hours in your schedule, right? Giving pro bono work is in our code of ethics, right? We want to be sure that we're giving back to the community. A second way is become a supervisor. Become a supervisor and have somebody, you know, amazing like Jennifer here, once she gets her LPC associate license, who's able to see clients at perhaps a lower rate, and you can pass those clients. And then, Jennifer, you can decide what you want to charge them until you get the experience, right? But my goal is to always create a raving fan. So someone who will leave the phone call with resources so they would be able to tell a colleague, a friend, or a family member, hey, that person, you know what? I couldn't pay their rate, but my gosh, they did not let me off the phone until I had resources in my hand, figuratively, so I could take next steps with this problem. So whether that's a session at a lower charge or just referrals that they can take you up on.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Those are my questions.
That's it. All right. So I'm going to throw this out there here because I do see this, like getting the credit card number, right? Charging for no-shows, having that information, that can be tricky as well. So I don't work for Ivy Pay. They don't pay me to endorse them. But one of the things I really like about Ivy Pay is you send your client a notification through the app. They get the notification through the app. They enter in their own credit card information. So you never have to deal with that at all. If you're doing it the old-fashioned way, then one of the things I would recommend in the 10-minute consultation is if they choose to book with you, then get the credit card information at that time. But I, Kate Walker, never charge for a missed first appointment because in my philosophy of counseling, I have not established a relationship with that person yet. Even if they've signed all the paperwork, they don't know me. I don't know them. So I would not charge them for no-showing on that first session. But whatever your policy is, make sure, number one, you have it in your intake paperwork. And number two, if you ever change your rate, you got to do it in writing. You have to update that consent form with your new rate and have that person acknowledge it and sign it. I think I saw in one of the social media threads where somebody was texting their client that like, okay, this is written, right? Like I'm texting my client, letting them know that I'm raising my rate. And it's like, well, maybe, but
how do you know that that's the person who got the text message?
Exactly. How do you know it's them? Are they able to sign? Are they able to acknowledge in any way received? Are they take a picture and say, hey, yeah, I got your text. No, all right. There's a way that you can get them to sign new paperwork or even just a form. Hey, I acknowledge that my rate has gone up 10% and I agree to it. That's all we're looking for is consent to the new rate. And that is in the rules.
I did think of another question, actually.
Oh, good.
So a lot of people have a 24-hour cancellation policy, and they'll say, you know, if the client doesn't cancel within 24 hours, they have to pay, you know, X amount of dollars. And I guess I kind of struggle with that because, like myself, I have kids. What if I wake up one morning and my kid's puking all over the place? I don't always know 24 hours before an appointment, and that has deterred me from reaching out to some therapist because I don't want to be on the hook for $100 if, God forbid, somebody falls sick on the way to the appointment.
Right. And that's something I think in the interview, and you know, if someone's listening to this who is going to ask for therapy, which should be all of us, right? Because therapy is good for us. That's a really good question to ask, because we're back to the whole, hey, I'm going to charge you a no-show fee, but you know what? You're kind of my favorite over here, so I'm not going to charge you a no-show fee. So whatever you choose, you must be ruthlessly consistent, right? It's just one of those things that if you're going to have a policy, you got to stick to it. And honestly, I would actually, as you're saying that, and I've been there too, you know, I've had three kids at home under the age of 18, you know, and you never know what's going to happen. So I imagine that would be pretty cool for a therapist to actually market themselves as someone who is amenable to people with kids, and your no-show fees are reasonable, and you have all of these different ways to reschedule, and you have all these different ways to perhaps use virtual. And I just think I came up with a business. So.
Like, you could do so much of that, because it is a deterrent and it's hard, and people don't always, you can't plan for illness and emergencies. And so I like that.
It happens to the best of us, you know? And so maybe it would even be the solution, like, okay, if somebody no shows once, okay, they no show five times in a row, you're like, hang on, baby. And maybe therapy's not a good fit at this time for them either, right? But gosh, think of the business, think of the practice, if you two could brainstorm together and figure out a way to do therapy. I don't know. It just sounds
right.
Possibilities. Okay. Yeah. We need to flesh that out.
So go those ahead. Are all the questions I had. I mean, that was some really great information. I like the Ivy Pay, because taking people's credit card numbers, you know, my previous background was law enforcement, and I always cringed because I worked credit card, debit card abuse cases all of the time. And somebody asked for my credit card number, and I'm like, what are you going to do with it when you're done? Like,
are you going to
burning it in the fireplace? Did you take a match and light it on fire? So we live in a day and age where it's very easy. So I really, really like the Ivy Pay system, where I don't even have to touch it. So there is no possibility that it's because of me that there, you know, was some sort of financial security breach.
Yes. Yeah. I know. Like, remember ordering pizzas and be like, okay, what's your credit card number? And I'm like thinking, oh gosh, okay, here it goes.
Right over the phone.
All right. Anybody have questions live about money, about talking with clients about money? And I'm talking to supervisors now too. I would love to know how you guys teach your associates who have their own practice how to broach this topic, how to set maybe a sliding fee scale, how they're going to consistently charge for no-show fees. Because for me, that's the ethics, right? The ethics piece is, if we're not treating everybody the same, I've heard stories too about, yeah, I gave this person a sliding fee scale and then they drove up in a new car. Okay, what do you think that does to the therapeutic relationship, right? Because, I mean, we're not big corporations. As the therapist, we're also the bank, right? We are the cashier. We are the one, you know, sending out invoices for billing, the accounting department. So that dual relationship in that moment, you know, we really have to work through, am I okay that I'm giving this person a sliding fee scale and they just drove up in a new car? Because I know they need the new car. They've been working really hard and, right? So always consult. If this is something that you feel like is negatively impacting you or the relationship, take it to somebody, talk to somebody. We've got great groups, right? Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses and Supervisors, the Texas Supervisor Coalition, or tag me in this group. Just tag at Kate Walker and I'll see it and I'll answer your question. All right. Well, thank you for asking such great questions. And you're going to come back and do this again because you're awesome, Jennifer. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody. Have a great day. Now, hang on a second before you go. If you are intrigued at all about becoming a supervisor, this is the month to do it. No fooling. This April, I'm giving away a bonus with the purchase of the 40-hour training, and we're calling it Clinical Supervision Systems to Protect Your License and Your Sanity. And it's easy to access. You just go to katewalkertraining.com/bonus. That's katewalkertraining.com/bonus.
A
I'm Dr. Kate Walker. Thank you so much for listening to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses. Thank you to Ridgely Walker for her lovely voiceovers at our introduction. And do me a favor, when you get a second, please like, share, and subscribe, and write us a review. That's really how we get picked up by other RSS feeds, and we get this information out to the mental health badasses who need it. Thanks again, and keep saving the world with excellent therapy.